die in order that this country might experience freedom. What a statement. It was that kind of patriotism which led men. They were armed with nothing more than single-shot hunting rifles that were not accurate, that would not shoot long distances, to engage in a battle with what was the most powerful nation in the world at that time. You talk about brave. You talk about a commitment to follow Christ and his teachings. This was an amazing decision that our forefathers made. Many of our forefathers paid a terrible price in that Revolutionary War. But they finally won the victory so that you and I might be citizens of this land of the free and the home of the brave. But what we often forget is that in declaring their dependence from England, our forefathers made an equally strong declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. Their faith was so strong, their belief was so great, that they knew that they could not succeed in this endeavor without the help of God Almighty. A second paragraph in the Declaration of Independence begins with these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Today, we would say all lives matter. Christians would say that. "That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And then the closing words for their declaration silently states, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Just as a little sidebar, do you know that not all, but most of our forefathers came in, started this declaration as wealthy people, and most of them died paupers? Is that a commitment? Is that a belief stronger than maybe we have experienced? It's important that we remember this declaration of their dependence upon God, for in time of a world turmoil, the United States today is rapidly forgetting the God of our fathers. The God who gave this nation its birth and its greatness. We would not be where we are today with the help of God Almighty. I trust that all of you recognize the name of Patrick Henry. But I'm afraid that many of our school children know almost nothing about him at all, and the rest of our forefathers. Patrick Henry was a famous statesman of colonial Virginia. In 1774, he was a delegate to the First Continental Congress. In 1775, before the Virginia Provincial Convention, which was deeply divided, by the way, between those who supported England and those who desired freedom. And there he uttered his most famous words, "Give me liberty or give me death." How many of us can say that and believe that today? How many of us are willing to give up some of our liberties so we can get some of our goodies? During the Revolutionary War, he became commander-in-chief of Virginia's military forces. He was a member of the Second Continental Congress. He helped draw up the first constitution of the Commonwealth of Virginia and was primarily responsible for drawing up the amendments to our constitution that we know as the Bill of Rights. How many people read our constitution? I have a son that carries it in his pocket everywhere he goes. I used to, but I don't anymore, but I do have it on my phone. And I refer to it occasionally. I can't remember the last time that I sat down and read it from beginning to end. It'd be a good thing for us to do that. It really would. Patrick Henry became Virginia's first governor and was reelected three more times. Then he retired from public life. But despite his strong objection, the people went ahead and elected him governor for the fifth time. But he meant what he said, and he refused to take office. He was offered a seat in the U.S. Senate and a post as ambassador to Spain or France. President Washington asked him to join his cabinet and become Secretary of State, and then later wanted to appoint him Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But he refused all such honors. So why do I mention all these things about Patrick Henry? Patrick Henry probably doesn't get all the recognition that he should in our history books. The example of the history that I just recited is an example and a testament to how great Patrick Henry was. And you have to wonder how different our nation would be today if Patrick Henry would have continued on in his political life. I don't know. But it's good food for thought. It is because I want you to realize that he was an important and respected leader when our nation came into being. Now listen to his words. He said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded," listen to this now, "not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Christ Jesus." That's a really profound statement. His last will and testament he filed with the Brookneal County Courthouse in Virginia. And in that he bequeathed everything to his children, which most people do. But the last paragraph in his will is actually very, very interesting. In that he wrote this: "I have now given everything I own to my children. But here is one more thing I wish that I could give them, and that is Christ. Because if they have everything I gave them and don't have Christ, they have nothing. Wow. Rainey and I are in the process of organizing all of our end-of-life things. And we did all of the legal things. And we're writing notes about what we wish, this and that. I would have never dreamt in a million years to include that wisdom that Patrick Henry had. How profound is that? Especially when you have children, as we do, that are Christians, that love Jesus Christ, but don't attend church. I know there's people here that have children the same way. And I also know there's people here that have children that are with Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded again of the solemn warning that God gave to another nation, which was experiencing the thrill of independence after centuries of slavery in Egypt. Although it was written over 3,000 years ago, this warning could very well apply to the United States today. I had myself a note here that I was going to read the scripture one more time, but I'm not going to do it in interest of time. So if you can't recall what we read this morning, I encourage you to go back this afternoon sometime and read that warning in Deuteronomy. The testimony of history has made it abundantly clear that not only nations, but also individuals need to heed those warnings. The greatness of a nation is not measured by its military power or its technological advances or national wealth or how many A-bombs we have or how fast we can wipe out our enemies. Righteousness and justice are the determining factors of a great nation. Solomon said this: righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So here we go. Someone wrote, "What in the world is happening with our kids today?" So let's see. Let's look at a few examples. I think it all started when Madeline Murray O'Hara complained that she didn't want any prayer in our schools, and our Supreme Court and the silent majority said okay. Then someone said, "You had better not read the Bible in school. The Bible that says, 'Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself,' in our nation." And the silent majority said, okay. Dr. Benjamin Spock said, "We shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem." So the silent majority said, okay, we won't spank them anymore. Then someone said that teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave. And our administrators and the silent majority said, "No one in this school is going to touch a student when he misbehaves because we don't want any bad publicity and we certainly don't want to be sued. How many people had a teacher that had a paddle? How many felt that paddle? Exactly. Now, I just want to inform you this morning that all of us that have felt that paddle are damaged. Now, the people that were against it were referring to our emotions. I'm referring to our butt. And just a little frosting on the cake, my mother had a paddle too. Then someone said, Let's provide our children with condoms so they can have all of the fun that they desire. And the silent majority in our nation said, that's a great idea. Someone else said this, listen, let's provide abortions for underage girls so they won't even have to tell their parents. In our nation, and our silent majority said, that's another great idea. Then some of our top officials said that it doesn't matter what we do in private. And the silent majority said, as long as I have a job that pays good money, it doesn't matter to me what anybody does in private. And they even get elected, continue their lifestyle, and say they represent us because we can't take care of ourselves. So now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience. Why they don't know right from wrong. And why it doesn't bother them to kill. Probably if we think about it long and hard enough that we could figure it out. I think it has a great deal to do with what we reap is what we sow. Wow, what a concept. How often have your conversation, I know my case has been often, that we have a whole generation of people that don't know right from wrong, have no exposure to the Bible, don't even know what the Ten Commandments are, let alone see them or read them. Why would we expect anything other than murder in the streets today? Or drugs running rampant? Or our borders being overrun? Or evil and naughty and irresponsible politicians and world leaders? Or the people that are in charge of our educational system? Why are we surprised? Why are we not making the connection that God left us in the book of Deuteronomy? Why are we not following the words that Solomon left for us? Why are we still the silent majority? If you truly are concerned about America, if you earnestly want God to bless her, then live a life in harmony with the will of God. Only then does one truthfully have the right to sing this song. Please rise. God bless America, land of thy love. Stand before her and guide her with the God from beyond, from above. When the mountain in the valley, like a song, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Please be seated. This morning we have the opportunity to come to the table. All are invited.